Hi, this is Russ Taft.
Hi, this is John Olifanti.
Hi, this is John Schlippen-Petra.
Hi, this is Kim Boyce.
Hey, everybody, Stephen Curtis Chapman here, and you are listening to Jesus Freaks Final to Digital.
Hi, I'm Jason Huddle, host of Jesus Freaks Final to Digital. Before we get into this week's program, I just wanted to take a moment to thank you for downloading this episode and giving us a listen. If you really like what you hear, we'd love to have your support. How can you do that, you say? Well, I'm glad you asked. Simply visit patreon.com/JesusFreaksPodcast and become a monthly sponsor. Now, you can do that for as little as two measly dollars per month, or you can go higher and get special perks, like advance access to episodes when available, the opportunity to submit questions I will ask our artists on future episodes, and even your very own Jesus Freaks t-shirt. Again, that's patreon.com/JesusFreaksPodcast. Patreon is spelled P-A-T-R-E-O-N. And hey, if you'd like your business or organization to become a sponsor of this program, let us know by visiting our website, JesusFreaksPodcast.com, and click on the Become a Sponsor link at the bottom of the page. Now that we've gotten that out of the way, let's get on with the show.
Hi, kids. This is Brian Duncan. You're listening to Jesus Freaks Vinyl to Digital. I would be the vinyl part, I assume.
Dan McCabe grew up in a church that didn't even believe in musical instruments, but he knew music was going to be a big part of his life. Little did he know, his aspirations were so much smaller than what God had in mind.
When we have dreams about what we'd like to do in life, I found they're so much smaller than the dreams that God has for you. I mean, my dream was to be able to play at that coffee house and to be able to play with this group called Harvest. If it had ended there, I would have been totally satisfied and happy. But boy, God had much bigger plans than that.
After Dan and some friends formed Daniel Band, they began to produce some edgy Christian rock music that few others were doing in the industry at the time. However, like many bands, eventually they went their own way. But does that mean Daniel Band is done?
I say this to people, Daniel Band never broke up. We just stopped playing.
I know you guys have done some reunion shows in the past, but any thoughts of maybe coming back together, doing another album?
Find out right now on this season finale of Jesus Freaks Vinyl to Digital, a presentation of Cavco Media Group. I'm your host, Jason Huddle, and make sure you stay tuned to the end of our program when we'll talk about what you can look forward to in season two. Right now, here's our interview with Daniel McCabe from Daniel Band. We want to welcome onto the program right now, Dan McCabe from Daniel Band. Thank you so much for joining us today, man.
Oh, it's my pleasure. I'm so glad to be here with you. Thank you for the invite.
Absolutely. You have the distinction of being our final guest for season one. We are wrapping up the season with you, my friend.
Oh, wow. I'm good. That's good.
So tell us a little bit about, just first of all, I'd love to know how you came to know Christ and what got you involved in the Christian music industry scene.
Yeah, I was raised in a Christian home, very traditional, strict Christian home. In fact, the church that I went to didn't, if you can believe this, based on what I ended up doing, but didn't believe that musical instruments should be used in the church because they weren't actually mentioned in the New Testament church. So if you can imagine, I was raised in a what they would call a Brethren background.
Okay.
And we'd go to church on Sundays and everything was just sung without instrumentation. So that was that, you know, Sundays was a day of rest and you didn't do anything. You didn't, you know, visit with your friends. You came home, you went to church three times and you came home and had dinner and rested. It was almost in a sense, almost like a little bit like a Jewish tradition, really, as a Christian. So very different. So I was exposed to faith all my life and very, very early, but I was struggling. In fact, I'm starting to write, I wouldn't say it's a book, but I'm starting to write just a story. It's called But God. And it talks about all the things that I saw, how God had intervened in my life throughout the years. And it opens up with this sort of background, but I was the kind of person that was having a real hard time. And maybe because the background I grew up in was a little on the legalistic side, right? So I was having a hard time understanding faith because it always seemed to be attached to something else. So it was believing in Jesus, but not doing this, or sure. believing in Jesus and not doing that. And so I just had trouble putting the pieces together. And so I actually didn't become a Christian until I was 13, which was really late in life for someone who was, you know, so immersed in Christianity in an early stage. And it was then that someone just very simply said, it is faith alone that saves you. And I was able to separate that stuff out. I'll work it out. And it was very simple. I just accepted Christ then and just invited him into my life. And that was at age 13. And at that time, at a young age, I loved music. You know, I love, you know, a lot of the artists that were sort of my influence at that time was Leon Russell, if you can believe it, Elton John. And I mean, I'm going way back, you know. And then, of course, later on, and as the Danny Band progressed, there were some other influences that came in there. But I started playing in what I would refer to as secular rock bands, because if you think about it, my church didn't value music as a sure. tool to be used. And so what did I do? I still like music. I wasn't going to stop playing music. So I played in secular bands, and then God introduced me to another group of people. See, it's a great story of freeing yourself from bondage or the trappings of religiosity.
Yeah.
And introduced me to other people, said, like Glenn Kaiser, all these other figures said, oh, no, you know, God's got a plan for you. He's got something for you to do, you know. And then that's when I started to be involved in writing, using my skills and talents, you know, for the cause of Christ. And that would have been about when I was about 17 years old.
Now, how did your parents react if you grew up in that environment where music instruments weren't supposed to be used? How did they react to you being in a secular band?
Yeah, it was a strange time. My parents were amazing people, and they were so good as parents. I was very fortunate to have been brought up in a great home. But a lot of the people that the church that I went to, you know, thought I had totally fallen off the beam, and I was doing the devil's work. And so that was hard. It was harder on my parents than it was on me, because they were sort of having to deal with all this. But the strange thing is, later in life, those same people, their children had fallen off the rails, and they were phoning my parents trying to get me to call them and help them mm-hmm. in their faith.
Interesting.
So early on, I didn't have a lot of family support, you know, from brothers or sisters about what I was doing.
So tell us about how you got in with the guys and formed Daniel Band.
Yeah, so the first band I played in was with my brother, actually. It was a group called Manna. And that was the first Christian group that I played in. And the church I went to at that time was called Bendale Bible Chapel. They had a coffee house ministry going on in the basement of the church. It was really kind of cool because, you know, it'd be, you know, like 60 or 80 kids show up on a Friday night, every Friday night, and they'd have bands there and everything. And one of my big Christian influences was not only, you know, Glenn Kaiser, of course, but strangely enough, you know, a group called Love Song at the time, which had Chuck Girard in it.
Oh, yeah. Right?
And, you know, he played a huge role in my Christian music development, and so did Glenn Kaiser. So anyways, you know, we got to open up for a group called Harvest at the time. And Harvest in Toronto was sort of like, do you?
Oh, man, I grew up on Harvest. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, it's
an incredible group.
So Tony Rossi was the guitar player in that band. And so I really looked up to these guys because they were really solid Christian guys. And they were, you know, using their talents in the music, you know, to serve Christ and to preach the gospel. And so I was really honored to be able to come and with this group called Manna and open up for them. And that's where I met Tony Rossi, you know, of course, the Daniel Band, you know, lead guitar player and writer and everything else. And eventually what happened was, you know, Harvest needed a keyboard player, and that was my first instrument, really. I only learned how to play bass because no one else wanted to be a bass player. So I played keys. That's my first instrument. And they needed a keyboard player, so I was asked to join Harvest, which was like my dream come true. You know, here's the amazing thing, and I wrote that in this thing, that when we have dreams about what we'd like to do in life, I found they're so much smaller than the dreams that God has for you.
Mm.
I mean, my dream was to be able to play at that coffee house and to be able to play with this group called Harvest. If it had ended there, I would have been totally satisfied and happy. But, you know, it was a small church basement, about 60 or 80 people there. And that was my dream to be able to be part of that ministry. But boy, God had much bigger plans than that. For a couple of years, and then we found that Harvest, you know, couldn't keep playing, and so people would, you know, want to book us, and then we couldn't go, and then so Tony and I said, well, you know, why don't we go? And that was the beginning of Daniel Band. It was sort of morphed out of Harvest, and we brought in Bill Finley and brought in a drummer, and away, that's where it started.
Wow. As I understand it, you guys entered a contest for a local radio station. Is that right?
Yeah, we were
did pretty well.
We were in this. Yeah, we were in the. There's a thing called Toronto Rocks, and also a radio station called Q107.
Yeah,
and they were like playing all the music of the day. You know, AC/DC, Def Leppard, all that, you know, all the mainstream stuff. And we were in the studio recording the first album, and Glenn Kaiser was with us helping produce it. Him and Roger Heiss. And at the last minute, you know, we said, one of the guys that worked with the band, the sound tech, said, no, I'm just going to submit this song to Q107 for their homegrown contest. And we ended up placing, you know, third place in this contest. And we were invited to play one of the premier clubs in Toronto called the Elma Combo at that time. Rolling Stones had played there. There was all kinds of, you know, famous acts that played there. It's like the Troubadour of LA kind of thing. And so we went to the leadership at our church and said, hey, you know, we don't have to do with this. We were invited to play at the showcase. What do you think we should do? It's a secular venue. It's a club. We were willing to submit to whatever they recommended. And their response to us was, hey, look, as long as it's not a strip club and you can freely say what you want to say, you should do it.
Yeah.
So we did, you know, that's how we ended up there.
So tell us about, you guys come out with your first album. And one of the things I love about this show is we've gotten to interview artists who were doing things that nobody else was doing. Daniel Band was a very unique band for that time, especially in the Christian music industry. You know, as you mentioned, there's a stark difference between Daniel Band's music and Harvest. let's just put that out there. So, so tell me about, you know, you guys were not only doing Christian rock, but doing, I've heard you compare to AC/DC. You mentioned AC/DC. In fact, I was just listening to the Run from the Darkness album, and and I was distinctly hearing some AC/DC-esque riffs in there. So were you getting pushback from the industry, or was this something that you felt like people were gravitating towards because it was something they were familiar with on the secular end and they were craving that from a Christian perspective?
Well, you know, Daniel Band never had a plan. We didn't plan to get together. We didn't have a business plan. We didn't have any plan other than we love God and we wanted to follow Jesus. And so what happened, you know, with Tony and I being the primary writers of Daniel Band, we just did what we knew. So, you know, the influences that you hear in Daniel Band, you know, the AC/DC and different things like that really come from Tony Rossi, because that was his favorite music at the time. And the influences that, you know, that combined that you would hear coming from Rush, you know, you pick up a lot of, I mean, I love Geddy Lee as a bass player, and that's why I had my first bass was a Rickenbacker 4001. And same as Geddy Lee's, you know, from mm-hmm. Rush. And in fact, the same guitar techs that worked on Geddy Lee's guitar modified my bass guitar because there's some internal things that were done to his guitar to make it a little more bottom end, but still have that, you know, Rickenbacker bite, you know. And so I had mine done that way as well. And if you pick up some of the songs, you'll pick up the Rush kind of influences, and people have compared my vocals that way a little bit as well, but also the bass sounds a little bit as well. So, and you know, I really loved Foreigner as well. So there's some influences there. And, you know, Christian influences, of course, Resurrection Band. So a lot of influences came across right. there, but we just wrote what we liked and who we were. And we just took the music that we enjoyed and we just said, well, we'll just, you know, put what we believe into those songs in the lyrics.
Yeah.
And so we really had a desire to be able to go out into the world and tell people about Jesus. And we felt that we just wanted to do that. So we just did it. That was just what we did.
It sounds like you guys were just kind of, hey, we're going to ride this wave as long as we can, telling people about Jesus and playing the music that we love. I mean, does that pretty much sum it up?
We weren't looking for record contracts. We weren't looking for anything. We were just looking at sharing our faith. And we always felt that God just pulled us through, just like pulled us along. We weren't pushing the thing along. He was just pulling us along. And when a door opened up, we'd go through it.
Yeah. So I saw on Facebook recently, there are many fans of Daniel Band still out there. And I saw on Facebook where they had sounded pretty unanimously voted that Run From the Darkness was the best Daniel Band song ever. Do you agree with that? Or is there one that ranks higher on your list?
Yeah, I hear a couple of different things. I mean, I love the song Run From the Darkness. I think it's an amazing song. Tony Rossi and Bill Finley were largely the writers of that song. And I love to play it because I love the bass line in it. It was, mm-hmm. it was a real challenge to play that bass line and sing at the same time. It was, it took some work, but I love the song. I love the way it was produced and the sound in it. The other song that everybody talks about, of course, is I'm Sorry, is another song that was from our first album. So yeah, you know what, there's bits and pieces of each album. And the other thing I just mentioned, like when you look at the first album, you see really a basic rock, like an AC/DC style.
Right, right.
When you move into the second album, that's when Tony and I were going through our Kansas phase that we really loved listening to Kansas. You know, Kerry Livgren had become a Christian.
Yeah.
That's a whole other story because I got to meet him and be at a festival with him. That was like a dream come true.
Nice.
But anyways, you know, so in the second album, you can hear, you know, strings are introduced a little bit more, a little more creative musically. And then we found that people didn't like that as much. They didn't like that side of Daniel Band as much. And so when you came to the third album, which was Run From the Darkness, we went back to our original roots again.
For sure.
And then we kind of stayed there.
So is that the one that ranks for you? I'm Sorry and Run From the Darkness?
I would say, those are the two big ones that I think that were my favorite and pretty much most everybody's, I think.
I'm sorry. But you know it's not the same, 'cause His glory shines forever. If you're lonely and you wanna know the way, there's one only way to get.
I think 87 was when your last album came out for Daniel Band. Was it just time to move on and do different things, or was there a specific reason why that was it?
Yeah, it's funny. It was called Running Out of Time because it was not intentionally meant to be prophetic in that sense, but we were running out of time. We had gotten married. We had children. Our lives were changing. We didn't have the ability, you know, to tour as much as we used to. And so we did that last album. It's called Running Out of Time. So it's just kind of strange how that just kind of coincided. You know, the guys in Daniel Band are all good friends. I was talking to Tony actually just last week. And we try to get together as much as possible, like Bill Finley, and we would just go to a coffee shop and hang out. I say this to people, Daniel Band never broke up. We just stopped playing.
Yeah. I know you guys have done some reunion shows in the past, but any thoughts of maybe coming back together, doing another album?
I don't know about another album, but you know, Tony and I always look for excuses to get together. And we did a reunion thing. I guess it was about 2 years ago. Now was the last time we played. Yeah, it was a small church near us. And you know, it's just a small crowd of maybe about 80 people. But we had a great time getting together. And you know, I think people like to come and still hear us play. You know, it's great for us to just, I mean, Tony and I just like to have a reason to get together.
Yeah.
And that was just another thing to do. And you know, if opportunities came that said, hey, we'd love to come, you know, Daniel Band, come and play, we'd definitely do it. Like, we'd definitely consider it if we can do it. Yeah.
So
but I don't know about an album, though. I think that's a lot to do an album, time-wise and commitment, you know?
Sure.
But who knows? I mean, anything's possible. My son is really hammering hard at doing that. He really wants me to do it.
Okay. See, I didn't even know that.
Yeah, my son Josh, you should check him out. He's got a thing called Caves going on. He's a worship pastor as well. I'm really proud of what he's doing. My daughter works for Bethel Music.
Okay.
So I still have, you know, I got all these people in the family. My kids are very involved in ministry as well. And my youngest daughter,
Rachel. You did an album with them, didn't you?
I did a couple things. Yeah, it's great to do that with both my son and my daughter. And then my youngest daughter, Rachel, she's not musical at all, but she just comes alongside us to help us do what we need to do. So Josh is really pushing, you know, you should do this. There's interest out there. I'm going, yeah, okay, sure. We'll see.
And yet here we are having that discussion. Who knows?
Here we are. Yeah. Who knows? It could happen. You know, maybe even a couple songs. I don't know. Today's technology allows that to happen a lot easier.
That's true. Yeah. I mean, you guys can be in different parts of the country and do an album together now.
I mean, I'm doing that. Well, we're going to talk about it later in the interview, but I'm doing that now with church. So,
yeah. Well, before we get into quite what you're doing now, I did want to talk briefly about your life post Daniel Band in the 90s and early 2000s. I know that you were still playing. I believe you had some other bands. You played with your kids, as we mentioned. You also had a chance to do some shows with Glenn Kaiser, Audio Adrenaline, X Center, another band that's been readily compared to AC/DC. What was that like?
Oh, it was great. I mean, a lot of them were all reunion things, and that was fantastic. After Daniel Band, and one of the reasons that you know, the Danny Band thing, when my son Josh was born, he was really sick as a kid. So running a lot of fevers and everything, fine now, but it was just one of those things at the time. And I needed to be around home more, yeah. You know, help my wife. Sure. And so I just said, well, you know, I can't keep this going. So I didn't play music for about 2 years. I didn't do anything. I just was at church and, you know, helped out at church, you know, when I could, you know, leading some worship or some songs, but, didn't really get involved in that at all. And then after that, there's a group of guys that called me up. They had a group called Dreamer. You probably heard about that.
Yeah.
And we did they asked me to come if I would produce this album for them. And so I was, you know, on the phone with them and I said, okay, who's your lead singer? And I said, well, we really don't have one. I said, okay, well, you know, who's doing what and who's doing that? Well, we, you know, who, so on. So anyways, he said, well, we were kind of hoping that maybe you'd come and help us, you know, get this thing off the ground. So I ended up being part of this group called Dreamer. I did the lead vocals and did probably 80% of the writing on it, along with my brother. And we released an album called Full Metal Racket. And that's on Spotify now. You have to look for it under Full Metal Racket. That was sort of the album that, as I say, was mostly written by myself and my brother. A lot of influences that I'd had musically over the years kind of came out in that thing. It's a little heavier than Daniel Band was, but those guys were a great group of guys to work with and I had a blast doing that. You know, I did one album and that was it.
So tell us what you're up to now.
Yeah. So for 40 years, I worked in the business world. Daniel Band was never a full-time job. We used to just tour on weekends. So oh, wow. We would all okay. work regular jobs. Tony was a school teacher. I actually worked in the pest control industry as a vice president of a couple of companies. And Bill Finley worked for the city of Toronto or Scarborough. And Matt Del Duca at the time who was a drummer. He worked as a welder. So we all had day jobs. And so what we'd do is we'd book our tours and we would, you know, fly out on Saturday morning and play maybe Dallas, Texas Saturday night and fly home Sunday and go back to work on Monday. So this was never a career for us. It was never a full-time job. So for 40 years, I was doing regular work, Monday to Friday, and Daniel Band, you know, as on the weekends. So after 40 years, I retired just last year from, you know, being in the pest control world. And I worked for Orkin, Terminex, and all those companies. And I went into full-time ministry. Finally got my chance to be in full-time ministry. I knew I always would be at some time, but the opportunity came sooner than I thought. So now I'm the executive pastor and worship pastor of a church called the Olive Branch in Markham, Ontario. So I'm loving it. I'm having a great time. So fantastic change in life. And for those of you, you know, I mean, if you want to check it out, it'd be a great favor if you would. it's, you know, you can go to TOB or the Olive Branch, TOB. .ca and you can check us out and you can see what I'm doing. So I'm doing a lot of recording again because I'm doing all the worship online now. And so I'm working with a whole group of new young people and doing all the production and that. My son Josh is doing the mixing for me. And then so I send it off to him. He mixes it, sends it back to me. So if people want to see what I'm actually doing right now, as of today, they can go there and they can see it. You know, all these videos and worship things that we're doing.
Excellent. We'll put that link in the show notes.
That would be great.
For our listeners as well.
Subscribe. Just subscribe. It'd be great. It would be so helpful. That's the executive pastor coming down to me now.
It's okay. You're allowed. Well, Dan McKay from Daniel Band, man, I really appreciate you spending some time with us today and letting us reminisce about your music. It's been a pleasure.
Oh, I tell you, this has been great. I love to talk about what God has done. He has gone far and above what I ever imagined or dreamed and given me a tremendous platform and responsibility that I'll never forget. And I'm just so grateful that I was entrusted with that.
Awesome testimony, man. Thank you so much for spending some time with us, man. Maybe we'll get you and Tony and the whole band on for a future episode.
That would be amazing. Thank you.
All right, you take care.
All right, take care, bro.
gotta run to the rightness of loving you. You get enough to pick me up. You brought me through. You gave enough to fill my cup. I thank you. I thank you.
Dan McCabe and all our guests this season. It has been so much fun bringing you these artists and these interviews, and I really hope you will join us for season two coming up in early 2021. We will keep you posted with dates, and you can look forward to interviews from Michael Sweet from Striper and Eddie DeGarmo from DeGarmo and Key, among others. So stay tuned for that. You'll also want to go back and re-listen to season one, because we'll be tweaking and remastering some of the early episodes as well. Jump on our Jesus Freaks Vinyl to Digital podcast Facebook page for all the details when those are available. For now, I'm going to leave you and close out the season with the fan-voted best Daniel Band song of all time, Run From the Darkness. You guys have been listening to Jesus Freaks Vinyl to Digital. It is produced and hosted by yours truly, Jason Huddle, with special thanks to Kevin Jewell, research assistant. Until next season, God bless.